Steve?
Yes, sir.
You didn't have much to talk about yesterday, did you?
No, slow day. Slow day. Great. Did everything I could to fill the 2 hours.
Yeah, for June 2nd, it's like really. It's crazy, but that's why we wake up every day, right? Because you never know what might happen next.
You never know what might happen next. Just very quickly on Mike Krzyzewski at his press conference today. John Shire will have his press conference tomorrow. Just your quick thoughts on Mike Krzyzewski and the transition that will take place at Duke a year from now.
Well, you know, certainly one of the all-timers. His record kind of speaks for itself. More wins than any basketball coach, at least in Division I history. I think in all college divisions, Steve, I could be wrong about that. Maybe Herb McGee will catch him before he's done. The current coaches for a few more years. But there's that. There's the 5 national titles. There's the sustained, what are we talking, 35 years now worth of Duke being like among the 2 or 3 best programs in the country, right, since the mid-'80s,
right,
when it really got started with the Mark Allery, Johnny Dawkins class. It's been incredible to be able to stay at that level for that long. 3 Olympic gold medals. He was an assistant on the Dream Team in 92. So, yeah, kind of an unparalleled resume in the history of the sport. Now everybody's saying, well, he's the greatest college coach of all time. I don't even know how you can quantify that. He's in the discussion, for sure, but how do you compare eras? I mean, John Wooden, the 10 titles in 12 years, that has no chance of ever being duplicated again.
Right.
It's just eye of the beholder, but certainly, and Rick Pitino had a great comment a couple of years ago. He said, look, Mike Krzyzewski is our John Wooden, meaning he's this generation's John Wooden, and I think that's a fair way to put it.
Well, I think, and I've said this, and you and I have talked about this 1,000 times. There isn't anything on the air you and I have already talked about, so ever. but I think you get to a point where there is now, when you have in college basketball, 100 years of history, baseball 150 years, the whole thing. At that point, I think you start to get to the point where you're among the best of all time, and saying there is a best is you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I think it just is impossible. It really, at any level, almost any sport, for the reason you cite, Steve, the games have changed so much.
Yep.
I mean, John Wooden coached, there was no 3-point line. Mike, almost all of his career has been with a 3-point line, and he was a guy who, at the beginning, wasn't a huge 3-point guy, but over time,
no.
Adapted to it and got with the program, and obviously his teams in recent years have been 3-point shooting teams. You think about the Leitner team that won in 92, which I think was his best team. Leitner was a senior, Grant Hill was a freshman, Bobby Hurley was a junior, and Grant Hill played 4 years in college.
Exactly. There's no way Grant Hill plays 4 years today.
He would have played one, and he'd have been gone. So the whole sport has changed, and Mike is one of the few who's able to adapt. He won in 15 with a freshman scored, I think, I'm not going to remember the exact number, but like the last 35 points of the game against Wisconsin.
Right.
He's adapted to the changing times. But, the whole sport, and he's seen it now. Of course, it's ready to undergo another massive change with we're in the middle of this transfer portal and then the image and likeness, and it's just going to get wild. And I suspect he and Roy Williams, maybe they even talk to each other, just go, hey, look, we got all the way through all this. Are we going to try to do this too?
Yeah.
Maybe they probably just said, hey, there's really nothing. And, of course, there's nothing left for either one of those guys to accomplish in a sport.
So now let's transition to another big story.
Yes,
and that, of course, is Medina Spirit, second positive test. But the 2-year ban for obviously Bob Baffert. Sometimes you react, sometimes you overreact. What did we see here in this case?
Yeah, I thought it was a classic overreaction. I think what Churchill Downs is doing, Steve, they're saying you can mess with anything. Don't mess with the Derby.
Right.
They're embarrassed because it's their race. It's their it's their reason for existence. I mean, it's the biggest thing in the sport.
Yep.
And it's been in the news for all the wrong reasons for 4 weeks now, ever since the positive test came out. So they're mad at Baffert. They're mad at everything. They're mad that people are looking at their race as like somebody fixed it, none of which is true. But That's kind of beside the point, as we found out through the years.
Yeah.
Often truth gets lost in the insanity of what people talk about. But, I think it was an overreaction. I think they want to look like tough guys. And I'll tell you this. I know people down there, they're really angry that this happened. My personal opinion is it was just sloppy, stupid. I don't think there was any attempt to cheat. This is not a drug you would use as a performance enhancer, but that's almost beside the point.
Right.
Because the public perception now is that Bob Baffert is Lance Armstrong or he's Barry Bonds.
Right.
Again, none of which is true, but that doesn't really matter because once the perception gets out there, it's so hard to change people's minds, especially the people who don't really follow sport all the time. So right. I understand why Churchill is angry. I get it. And I think they're trying to say to everybody, don't ever mess with this race again.
Right.
I do not think Baffert was intentionally messing with it. I do not think that that's why the horse won the race. But incredibly sloppy handling around the barn. As you know, you and I certainly had this conversation. Everybody seems to think when somebody's doing something that in retrospect turns out to be not good, there's these master manipulators and there's conspiracy theorists.
That's right.
My theory has always been that it's probably just sheer stupidity.
Yes.
Or just somebody made a mistake. That's the almost always the answer, but that's not the answer the public wants. The public wants retribution. They want something for somebody. So unfortunately, Baffert is really the face of the sport. Right now, he's in a tough spot. Other tracks are not reciprocating. Monmouth Park said, look, you can run at the Haskell. Philadelphia Parks has already said he can run in the Pennsylvania Derby. So it's more of a strictly a Churchill thing, Steve. And then when this thing is finally adjudicated by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, I'm sure that they're going to take away the Derby purse. That this particular drug, second positive in a year, calls for a 15-day suspension.
Right.
Maybe they'll do a little more than that. That'll mean he can't run horses anywhere under his own name for a couple of weeks, maybe even a month. And then I think he's going to go back generally to normal, but for his sake, the problem is he won't be getting the great two-year-olds anymore because these guys that want to run in the Derby aren't going to be able to give them their horses because he can't run in Kentucky for 2 years.
Exactly right. He can't do that. Could he run it, by the way, could he run at Saratoga if he chose to? Could he run
at
Saratoga?
At the moment, no.
At the moment, no, because of New York. Yep.
They've indefinitely suspended him. My suspicion is they're waiting on the final ruling from Kentucky.
Yep.
I know they've asked the people at Santa Anita where Bob's horses are stable. They go, look, we're not doing anything
until
we get a ruling. Now, Churchill, again, these individual tracks can do what they want. They have property rights. They can just say, you're out of here. There's no due process involved, but they can do it. It's been upheld by the courts.
Right.
They're just reacting to the fact that this particular positive for what's a therapeutic medication, legal to use in training, but can't be in a horse's system on race day. They're just reacting to the fact that the public thinks this horse got doped, and that's why he won the Derby. Yeah. None of which is true, but that's beside the point. It's not. Nobody's going into the nuance I just talked about on CBS News.
Right.
in 15 seconds, Derby winner tested positive, Baffert banned 2 years. Good night.
Right. Yeah, you're gone. I mean, they act like he injected him with jet fuel.
And it's 100% not true. Even if you were trying to do something illegal,
you wouldn't do that.
It's not a substance you would do it with.
Exactly.
And it's easily traceable. Everybody knows it'll show up in a drug test. I think the most likely explanation is this ointment they were giving him for the skin rash. And these nitwits never looked at the bottle to see that this stuff was in it.
Right.
It's not an excuse. He's going to lose the Derby purse because of it, but it's just dumb. And I've been told by a number of people, and I think this is probably true, there's a lot of barns where everything is tied up. There's no question. You got it all right, all the little details. Bob is more of an autograph and photograph guy.
Yes.
He's a good guy, but he's out front, comes for the workouts, come for the races. And he's just had some guys, and it's hard. There's a lot of little things that need to be done right in horse racing. And some of the people in his stable just haven't been doing them right. And ultimately, that's on him.
Sure.
It's like whoever hires these people has got to deal with it. But it's unfortunate because I'm worried that his reputation can be tarnished forever. And everybody's going to think he won all these races because he was cheating. I don't think any of that's true. But doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the public thinks.
All right, so the race on Saturday, the Belmont, mile and a half, and it's really nice to have everything back in natural order.
Yes, what a thing.
What a concept. Ron Bauer, not the favorite right now. Essential Quality is the favorite. Ron Bauer, of course, won the Preakness, much to the, you could tell in the post-race interview, much to the shock of the owners.
Yes.
Johnny V's going to be on board, Johnny Velasquez. Just your thought on that part of it, you know, and the fact the horse is coming back 3 weeks later.
So what happened here, everybody, it's a great question about this race. Why would a jockey as good as Flavian Pratt win the Preakness, he's the top jockey on the West Coast, why would he then go back to Hot Rod Charlie?
Yes.
Who ran a really good third in the Derby, but you know didn't win the Preakness, didn't run the Preakness. And the reason is, before the Derby, there was a lot, as there every year, there's a lot of musical chairs with jockeys. This jockey's going here, he can't make up his mind. Joe Oversario could have ridden Hot Rod Charlie, ended up riding Rock Your World.
Right.
So the Hot Rod Charlie mount came open. Pratt got it, but they said to him, look, you got it, but if we're running in any other Triple Crown race, you got to ride. You got to make a commitment to us. If he wins the Derby, you're running the Preakness. Wins the Derby, waits for the Belmont, you'll run. So that's what happened. He had made that commitment prior to the Derby, and then, of course, he wins the Preakness on Ron Bauer. So it's not like he doesn't like Ron Bauer.
Right.
I think the horses are very close in talent, and the trainers are both among the top five in California. So it's not like he wouldn't want to ride for either guy, Michael McCarthy or Doug O'Neill. So I think that's really what it is. But, you know, if you're going to get a substitute, pretty good guy to get, as you said, in Johnny V. Michael McCarthy was the top assistant for Todd Pletcher for years.
Right.
Todd Pletcher and Johnny V are a combo. So Michael is very, very comfortable with Johnny. Of course, he rides at Belmont Park all the time. And it's that unique racetrack, unlike anything else.
Yeah.
We run, it's a mile and a half around, and this is a mile and a half race. So that's a long-winded way of explaining why Flavian Pratt is not riding well.
I mean, selecting Johnny V to step in it, to
not
ride
bad.
Your horse is the equivalent of Joe Torre walking out, tapping his right arm, and telling Mariano Rivera the ninth is yours.
That's right. Come on in. Yeah, again, a pretty good guy. Look, I think Pratt is among the three best in the country.
No
now.
Doubt.
People are starting to get a sense of how good he is.
Yep.
I really got it, Steve. I mean, I kind of knew it, but when I was at Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup in 2019, I mean, he was unbelievable. I kept going back to watch replays to watch how he did certain things. And every time it was a horse, it was like if your guy was coached by Dean Smith, he'd move up 10 spots in a draft.
Right.
Same way with him. He was moving everything up. So he's there. But, yeah, Johnny's a great guy to have. And Johnny does ride at Belmont. Belmont is unique. Pratt hasn't ridden there that many times.
Right.
Where you normally would move at Belmont or at a normal track, a mile track, you have to wait another 30,
yes, you
40
do.
Seconds.
Yep.
Because if you go too soon, you get caught. It's just a weird place. But, yeah, they're two major contenders. And clearly all year, the horses from California have been the best horses. Medina Spirit from Cali wins the Derby. Ron Bauer from California wins the Preakness.
So Essential Quality at the moment is the favorite. After finishing fourth in the Derby, which was Essential Quality's last start.
Yep.
And Saez is going to be aboard Essential Quality. What do you like and what do you question about that horse?
Yeah, there's nothing not to like. I mean, he's never run a bad race. He was obviously unbeaten going into the Derby. I thought he ran really well in the Derby. He was widest of the four horses that finished within a length of each other.
Right.
So there's no reason to think he won't run well. He's by Tappet. Tappet's had several recent Belmont winners. He's bred for the distance. He's got that 5 weeks, and that's really been the winning formula, Steve, in the last 20 years. The horses that run in the Derby pass the Preakness come back and run in the Belmont.
Yep.
So Essential Quality fits that. Hot Rod Charlie does. Known Agenda, Rock Your World. So half the field fits it, but you have to figure out which one you like. So, yeah. Again, I think the only downside to Essential Quality is the same downside of the Derby. His price is going to be too low. In a race that's really competitive, he doesn't stand out over the others to me. He's as good as.
Right.
He can win, but it's not like, oh, my God, he's that much better. So it'll be interesting to see how the bettors look at it. I suspect, I have to think he's going to be the favorite. I don't know why he wouldn't be.
Right.
But you do see weird things sometimes at a Belmont with the betting.
Which now gets to how you want to play this. Look, the Derby brings with it the challenge of 20-horse cluster bomb. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Preakness, sometimes is a little more predictable. But then there's this. Nobody runs this. Nobody. No. There's no, hey, let's see how they did the last time they ran a mile and a half. Really?
Yeah. No. It's 550 yards longer than a Preakness. They're right, 5.5
yeah.
football.
Yeah. I mean, how do you want to play this?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at this race. So Rock Your World finished 17th in the Derby, beating 24 lengths.
Right.
You can throw that race out. Steve, he had no chance. He was eliminated at the start. He's a speed horse. He's going to be in front this race, which automatically makes him dangerous. There isn't much early speed in the race. But I'm not sure if he's good enough. I don't know, even if his best race. He doesn't have much experience. It's only his third race on the dirt. But you're going to hear Larry Comas on NBC saying, Rock Your World's in front a few times.
Plus, can I throw this out? I mean, plus, yeah. I'm not sure how, you know, Rosario to me is like, he could have the greatest race of his life, or he could foul it up.
Yeah, he's kind of a strange character.
Is that fair?
Yeah, he, as good as he is, he does some things that leave you shaking your head sometimes.
Yeah.
The Derby was one of them, although I don't know that it was his fault. He just got squeezed, and next thing you know, you're out of the race. But I will say this about Joel. He is, when he's in front, Steve,
he's good.
He is really hard to go by. He's the strongest rider since Lafitte Pintai, who's the strongest rider that ever lived. He just gets horses to do things they really don't want to do.
Right.
Finds a way to get him across the finish line. But I think he's got as good a chance of finishing last as he does as finishing first.
Right, yeah.
He's one of those all-or-nothing horses. But, yeah, if he gets out there by three lengths and he's cruising and Rock Your World wins, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah.
It's not the way I'm going to go. I'm going to try Hot Rod Charlie again. I picked him in the Derby.
Yep.
I'm going to see if I can't get this right. My Derby pick finished third. My Preakness pick finished second. So we're heading in the right direction.
Yes, we are.
So I'm going to try. My exact is going to be 4-3, Hot Rod Charlie over Rombauer. I did not like Rombauer in the Preakness, but the race was real. I mean, there was nothing fluky about it. He ran great.
Yeah.
So sometimes horses, that they just get to a level, and then that's where they're going to be. And I'm going to try to beat Essential Quality again. May not be a great idea, but that's my play. I'm gonna mainly go 4-3, 3-4 here.
Okay. All right, it makes sense. Anybody in the pack at all that's got a shot at this thing? I mean, they all have shots because it's a mile and a half. But
yeah, I don't see it. Overtook's not fast enough.
No.
Note Agenda's got the one good race, the Florida Derby, but you know he beat Soup and Sandwich. You know,
right.
Last time I saw him in the Derby, he was heading backward rapidly.
Yeah.
The Japanese horse, France Godina, actually showed a lot of speed in the Preakness.
Yeah.
And then just hit the wall, was beaten 17. I don't see it. Bonic of the Bombs is probably the one I would like the most to say could finish third or fourth.
Yeah.
Because he's going to still be running at the finish. And his jockey, I'm very friendly with his jockey. And I talked to him after the Derby, and Kendrick Carmouche says, we're winning the Belmont. I didn't say anything to him other than good luck. I don't think he's winning the Belmont, but it would be great if he did. And as I've said to you many times, Steve, they call this horse racing and not jockey racing
for a good reason.
No jockey can make a slow horse run fast.
That's right.
It's like no coach can make a bad shooter into a good shooter.
Exactly right.
You can work with them, but if they're bad, they're probably just going to be bad.
And no coach can run a scheme with bad players. So it's as we know. And by the way, just as a quick salute, we do step back for a moment to recognize that this is the anniversary of the passing of Muhammad Ali, and you, of course.
Oh, my Lord. It's been 5 years already?
5 years, and you took the route?
The next year at the Derby, I went down, and it was actually the last Derby I went to, Steve, 31 in a row. I think I might go back next year. I'm thinking about going back. But anyway, a couple of days before the Derby, I just took the funeral procession route and ended up at Ali's grave in I want to say it's Cave Hill Cemetery on the literally right in downtown Louisville, and wrote a piece about it for the paper. But God, 5 years already.
Yeah, can't believe it. God.
Yeah, there's legends, and then there's legends in like bold print, and Ali would be one of them.
There's legends, and there are elite legends.
Yes, he's one of those, and there aren't many, but he's He's in that group for sure.
My friend, as always, great to talk. I'm sure we'll talk again probably next week off the air.
I think we will.
Probably will. Thank you, sir.
You got it. All right, Steve. Okay, bye.